The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So welcome again, Walter.
Good to have you. Good morning. Good to be here. Morning to your Freedom 106.5 listenership.
So I chatted with the president of Tutor earlier this week, and he talked about the smooth transition. Schools were opened. As a matter of fact, he suggested there were two schools that had some disruption. One was Cedra Secondary that did not open at all due to, you know, field infrastructure works that is still ongoing. And the second one was Toko Secondary that had some sort of electrical problem or taking place there. Mm-hmm. So they dismissed early on Monday. They didn't open yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure what's going to happen today. Yeah. I haven't gotten any word as yet.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. So it's closed indefinitely.
Yeah. But we're hoping that by the end of this week, they would have sorted out the electrical issues at that school. And by next Monday, up and running.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. With that being said, what is the consensus on the ground? You have been, your name calling plenty, boy. I telling you, I think I messaged you yesterday.
Yes, you did.
You're all over, boy. The NPTA, this is one president of the National Parent Teachers Association that is very interactive.
Thank you.
And he's on the ground. He's in Connect. Yep. I mean, I would bother him sometimes for information and for things that I'm dealing with. Good. And he answers. He's there. He's busy. Yeah. What was the past 2 days like for you dealing with the schools?
Right.
Any concerns? What is happening?
Well, for me personally, it was a hectic 2 days. I mean, this is the third day of the new school term, academic year 25-26, and it has been for me hectic. But of course, it's something I love to do, so it's quite enjoyable. With regards to the school's reopening, two words: smooth sailing. And again, let me, for the umpteenth time, heartily congratulate and commend Minister Dr. Michael Dowlath and his team, because it's the first year in living history that we have had a reopening of school for the academic year with such a smooth sailing of the reopening of schools.
Yeah.
And we must commend the ministry highly for the effort and for seeing this transition from the July-August vacation up to now. And schools are up and running. And we thank them heartily for that.
With the schools up and running, I know up until this morning before you arrived here, did you get any calls about any concerns, complaints, anything that is happening that you would like to share with the wider audience?
The major issue seems to be, besides the two schools already mentioned, there seems to be a want of furniture. And speaking with the ministry, the order was made, procurement was done, everything was done, but for some reason the delivery seems to have been hampered somewhere along the line. And we are following this because obviously, Davy, if you have no desk, no chairs, I mean, there can be no productivity when the child goes to school. So we definitely want to ensure that we have our furniture, even if it means a temporary rental. It has to be done in order for our children to be able to address their school activity and that they can begin to function and operate well.
And, you know, I often talk about that, not being able to have furniture. And I remember earlier on in August, when you started talking with me here on the Morning Rumble, I mentioned furniture and infrastructure to you.
That's right.
I mentioned the walls with the graffiti.
Correct.
And all these nasty obscenities written on the walls by these by past students and how we were dealing with that. And then I had the opportunity to walk into a remote school.
Okay.
I went to Coryell, which is remote.
Yes,
now, Coryell is up in the, I don't want to say in the bush, but it's in a part of Trinidad it's very remote.
It is.
You don't know about the school, you never heard about it.
Yeah.
And I saw remedial works going on.
Yeah.
I looked at Arima Central. I saw remote remedial works going on there. Arima North. So there was works happening. Yeah. I personally would have walked into different schools and see it ongoing before Monday gone.
And actually, we were there with the minister last Friday. Minister, my first vice president, Mrs. Bramantali, were there hands-on. So we were able to see the contractors, interact with them, speak with them, and they have done a fantastic job. We must commend all the players, all those who were involved in ensuring that we are at this stage. We have to highly commend them.
And with that being said, the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Police officers in the schools.
Right.
What is the NPTA's position, not on the officers,
right,
but on the firearms that they carry? Now, I will tell you, on today's Guardian, there's a story here with Martin, which is the president.
Right.
President Lumpkin is now saying that they want to be clear very clear on what the position is. So he's saying here, while the union supports measures to improve safety, what are the roles and responsibilities that must be clearly identified?
Got you.
What are the roles and responsibilities? Have the NPA understood the presence of police in these schools to be?
God, and we highly agree with Mr. Lumpkin, Comrade Lumpkin, because when we met with DCP Operations Junior Benjamin last Thursday, the first thing we asked for, where's the policy document? Because there has to be, Davey, a policy document guiding this whole process. It didn't just come out of the sky, and we have been promised a policy document delineating the remit, the raison d'etre, the roles and functions of the TTPS in our schools. On the surface, they are there as an additional layer to what presently exists with regards to school indiscipline and school infractions. So that they are working with the principal, deans of discipline, our school health and safety officers, and our MTS officers or other private security accordingly. So they are the fifth layer, as it were, with regards to dealing with school infractions. When we spoke to DCP Benjamin, he did indicate as well that they were going to be able to greet students when they come in and be part of the searches, if there is need for that, your bags, etc., when you come in. So that it was not meant to replace the existing discipline matrix in our schools, but to provide that additional support assistance with regards to dealing with school deviant behavior.
We are asking for policies.
Right.
All right. Now, this additional security layer that has been added by the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service is a good initiative. Both you and Comrade Lumpkin welcomes it.
So, sit in.
Now, when we look at what police officers' duties and functions are to the wider public, why do we need a policy to be drafted specially with students or within the school walls? What is the significance of having that policy drafted?
Because there's what is called the Judge's Rule 2016, and that gives you a barrage of issues with regards to dealing with minors. TTPS and minors, there are strict rules, regulations to deal with that. So we wanted to ensure that your policy document was in alignment with the Judge's Rules for infractions, if at all they do happen at the schools, and how should police officers deal with them. One of the issues we are concerned with is in the co-ed schools in particular, that you must have in co-ed schools a male and female officer, so that if you have to suppress a female, for example, a male does not have to get involved in that, but the presence of the female officer would ensure that you are in compliance with what is expected. The DCP, Benjamin, could not guarantee, and of course we are still working on that, that his manpower would allow for female as well as male in every co-ed school. So far, I'm told from the schools that have police officers, so far, if it's a co-ed school, there are male and female officers, and we applaud the TTPS for that.
Now, again, I'm asking you, the Judge's Rule of 2016, I would encourage you for our next week installation, please the Lord, that you would bring...
Got you.
Let's get to that. Because I want the listening public to understand why you all are advocating strongly for policy and procedures. Now, the policies doesn't have to be a long-winded one.
Oh, no.
It doesn't have to be a 20-page document.
Correct.
Policy can be five rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Five sentences that's telling us what is going to be happening.
Certainly.
All right?
Certainly.
So let me just take one of my WhatsApp calls because I know a lot of persons, the action, and share their views.
Sure.
Hi, Davey. Good morning to you, sir. These people going mad out. They're going crazy out. What's wrong with them? They have nothing to do. The police is aware. The police is aware of their roles and function. Don't you think they aren't aware of it? They have been trained specifically to conduct a certain task, a specific task.
And this is the general consensus, eh?
Yeah.
That the police officers, they were trained over the Java vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were the first to allude to, you spoke of that here.
Correct.
And edify the public. So with that mandate and that training, and I'm happy that you was able to report that there are females and males at the co-ed schools.
Yes, so far. Yeah.
Isn't the police already have a policy and a procedure in how they handle and treat with minors?
Well, and let me tell you, hear the caller, but our concern is that casting aspersions in any way on the police service. We want to have it in our minds clearly. And of course, as the main stakeholder in education, the parents, our students, our children are the ones out there. And we want to ensure that if anything goes awry, God forbid, that we know exactly what's the procedure, what's the policy with regards to that. So it is really about being aware. Is an awareness for the National Parent Teacher Association to know what is going on with regards to the roles, functions, and remit of the TTPS in our schools. This is not a new thing, I'm told, because up to yesterday, talking to Comrade Lumpkin as well, in the 90s, for example, there were police officers deployed in two schools, I think Sawan North and Malik, because of what was taking place in the schools. So it's not a new phenomenon in that sense, really. It is now probably more widespread because it's 50 secondary schools we are looking at and 10 primary schools. But we want to be aware, as we should, of what is taking place.
I hear that. And one person is saying that, asking if you can look out, look into Eldo Blue.
Okay.
They said no toilets. Boys are going into the girls' toilet. And, you know, to use and relieve themselves. Please look into the toilet repairs.
Good.
They're asking that you...
Eldo Blue.
Eldo Blue,
sure.
All right?
Sure, sure.
Hello, good morning. Quickly, please. Very quickly.
Morning to you, David. And morning to your guests.
Morning.
Did the judge's rule outline anything in relation to guns in school? And if you don't have a problem with it, which I really don't have a problem with the police in school, do you have any country that has introduced such a policy in school? And the other thing, what are the police officers trained in regarding specifically for the school? Thank you.
Well, I know that there was a training during, as you said, David, during the July-August vacation with specially trained SRPs. And I do have the remit of the training. I'm sure that they would have been schooled, even in the judges' rules as well, I'm sure that would have been part of their training. So I have no issue with the training of the police officers, and I have full confidence in the TTPS and the officers under the purview of DCP Operations Benjamin, and I'm sure that the training would have been foolproof and that it will work in the best interest of our teachers and, of course, our students at the schools.
These SRPs that have been given training to deal with violent students and other miscreants in the school environment are the first group. There may have been one or two individuals here and there, but the first large group of officers that have been trained to deal with school children and their miscreant issues.
Yeah.
For the very first time in the history of Trinidad and Tobago, this is happening. Yes, and we're going to get a lot of discussion, and we may have a few slip-ups here and there, but it's a start, and we'll tune it in as we go. We'll fine tune it and it will get better and better. And this is a great thing for Trinidad and Tobago. This should have been done a long, long time now. Thank you.
And we didn't get here overnight, you know. 21,000 suspensions over 3-year period, 2022, 2025. 21,000 is a whole lot. That's about 180 suspensions in 1 week. And look at your social media. A buzz with infractions by school students, almost fatal in some instances. So there, as the gentleman said, harsh times deserve harsh measures. That's why we're here.
And the thing about it is, let's talk about the NPTAs. Okay, we understand that you need to get policies, procedures. You need to understand how you're going to tackle a student or break up a fight if it does incur under your purview or within your watch.
Sure.
All right. When it comes to firearms, other weapons such as a baton, pepper spray, and what have you. How does the NPTA we understand tutor's position.
Right.
But what does the NPTA feels when it comes to guns within the school compound? The officer with a sidearm. I'm not talking about an AR-15,
right,
of course. I'm talking about a sidearm.
Yes.
That they usually with the uniform and they're in the school.
Within recent times, we have changed our focus, as it were. Because initially, we were saying no firearms, period. But we look at the rationale from DCP Benjamin that the firearm is a tool of trade. It's like you going to work as a contractor, as a carpenter, and you're going toolless. So the firearm is a tool of trade. And we are advising because the consensus is now firearmed officers at specific high-risk schools, specific. We want to ensure that the firearm is concealed. So that you are armed, because let's say there are situations now confronting the police officer and he's unarmed. Is he going to leave and say, excuse me, I'm going to put my firearm? No. He would have already had his firearm on him, concealed, and he can use it if at all necessary.
Now, concealment of a firearm is if you're on the school compound and you're in your private in plain clothes. But if you are a uniformed officer,
yes,
with your blue and gray,
yeah,
your sidearm, and I keep using the term sidearm because it's on your hip. It's usually on the officer's hip.
Yeah.
That can't be concealed. It is the safety is on.
Yes.
It is well strapped in.
Officer
alone has access.
Yeah, yeah.
But concealment would be done if you're in your plain clothes. So what about a uniformed officer on the compound? How does the NPTA view this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because of the issue of preparedness of the officer, because the officer has to always be at all material time prepared for any eventuality. So if there's any eventuality, we don't want to be accused of saying no firearms, a situation arises, he is attacked, and he has to defend himself, and he is not armed. So I'm saying again, we have now changed our narrative to armed police officers on the compound because of the prevailing circumstances, if at all it's necessary.
And I love that because we have students that has been allegedly affiliated with gangs outside of the school.
Yes.
And when these gangs come to the school compound to conduct gang activities and gang-related business, they're not coming there with a baton.
Not at all.
They're coming armed, and whatever is in their way, they will pull it. One Texas said this morning, we only talking that until somebody, some teacher or student or somebody gets shot.
That's what I'm saying. We have to be prepared.
That's my point.
Yep.
Very good morning. Do prison officers who see about inmates have firearms, loaded firearms on them?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm not
but
sure.
But no, when it comes to that, I don't think firearms are allowed within those areas of the prison. The way in which they respond to threats and violence within the prison system, it's way different. Remember, in the prison system, they are not going to be confronted with gun-toting bandits.
Right.
So I want persons to understand, within the confinements of the prison walls, and Jared Gordon, Raj Kumar, my good friend who's always locked on, they can attest to this.
Yeah.
The prison officer, the chances of him coming in encounter with one of those prisoners armed with a firearm is one in...
There's a high measure of control as well. There is.
So you're in a confined space. If you do confront a firearm, is somebody traffic it in there?
That's right.
As we saw with the breakout in the Royal Jail some years ago, and where they were killed and one was held. The point is, it is less of a risk for a prison officer to encounter ammunition in the cell. They get phone, a knife, and all them little makeshift shivs and things.
Yeah.
So to ask me the question about a prison officer and liken that to a school compound, night and day.
That's right, yeah.
Because bandits, criminals, other persons have access to the perimeter. They could climb a fence, jump the wall, get in. It's less of a controlled environment than what the prison officers have to deal with on a daily basis.
Certainly.
So what about the teachers so far? I know you were very busy. And
I know.
For those of you, Walter is now a local celebrity.
Hopefully.
Yes, he is. How long have you been sitting at the helm of NPTA?
2 years, November 11, 23, I came into the office as the president. So it's 2 years come this November.
So this November, you're celebrating the anniversary.
Exactly. So
hopefully you'll be here with us still, because I'm going to advocate that. I think the NPTA Speaks is a very good program.
It is.
And I think you being here on a weekly basis will lend credibility.
Sure.
Your questions parents can call in and ask, you know.
Correct.
So, I mean, I know you've been busy on the ground, taking interview here. You're on TV here. What sort of feedback you got from teachers so far?
Let me say teachers and principals we have spoken to, except for those who would have called with regards to the furniture, etc. It has been really good for them as well. Has been a really good start for the new term, and everything is positive so far. And we are hoping that the climate and the culture will continue for the rest of this academic year.
In the absence of this policy, would you all have preferred to have the policy drafted before police deployment?
Oh, certainly. These things should have been put in place. Listen, even the list of schools was not, in my humble view, totally ready until almost this weekend, for example. So that you're putting a policy in place and don't know where you're even going. I mean, that's my understanding of it. So that the list of schools, the policy, those things should have been issued way into July, August. We should have been fully aware of that, briefed, etc., comprehensively. It should have been done a long time ago.
Should we not have been be happier now. I mean, the government just got into office, I think, in May month. They would have been inaugurated and installed later on in the month of May. This is when ministers would have been taking up office and stuff like that. Then you had June and then straight July, August. And then you had... So that's a very small window. And then on top of that, the government wanted to curb, to put some kind of measure in place in the quickest possible time. So would it be prudent of them to at least put this measure in there and then we could revisit the policy? Because what if you have drafted policies and end up with a Section 34?
Exactly.
So that's why I ask you if you would have preferred, I mean, it would have always been nice for policies, but how do you feel about the fact that they ruled out this initiative and now we are looking at policies and rules now?
Well, Noel, we are very happy that they have ruled it out, but I'm saying that, and of course you are correct, we had about 4 months or so, and that's why the Java school repair program is so important, that within that short space of time, we were able to do so many schools. Exactly. So we must commend them for that. But if you're putting a policy in place, even though it meant to hold up a while, don't rush it. Put the policy in place, make sure it is foolproof, it is authentic, and then you roll it out. But of course, we are already in this position. We are waiting for the policy document to be issued. We are happy that our police officers are in schools, and from all reports, all reviews so far, it is working extremely well, and we are happy about that.
And let's talk about, I mean, you have been there just about 2 years. You're almost in your second year. You would have seen from past administration to present administration, after every vacation, you know, schools opening and closing and stuff like that, you would have seen, what would you liken this school term opening to previous administration when they would have, when school would have been open under their watch?
Listen, I've been involved in the PTA over 25 years now.
Beautiful.
So I've been there, done that. And I call this, and I want to emphasize, this is historic. We have been perennially having to argue and cajole and, of course, knock on the doors of the ministry every academic year because of what is taking place in our schools. This is the first time in living history that we are smooth sailing and so many schools have been repaired and, of course, up and running for the start of the academic year in September. First time.
This is the first time in history.
In history, exactly. Living history, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, this is incredible.
It is.
Let's talk a little bit about the backlog of transfers. That is an issue, and I mean, we all suffering from it. A lot of parents are suffering. Students are unable to go to school at this time. What is happening with the transfers?
Up to this morning, before I came into your station, I spoke with the authority at the ministry, and they are working very hard. By the end of this week is almost the commitment to have all the transfers regularized, all the transfers executed, so that all those students on transfer should be in their new school come Monday, 15th September.
So you're saying by the end of this week, because persons are saying that they can't get in.
Correct.
How will the letters? Now,
the letters.
What
are
I was
the
told
problem.
Is that droves of letters.
Correct. Yes.
Were sent out, but everybody got.
Exactly. So, and I'm told that it's the printing process as well, and all these transfer letters must be signed by the CEO. So it's taking an inordinately long length of time. But that's no excuse. I'm not making an excuse for them. We want them to work on these transfers as a matter of utmost urgency and immediacy. And by this Friday, get all those letters signed and sent out to the district offices so that we can effect the legitimate transfers as early as Monday of next week.
So by the close of but you see, the thing about it is, if you're saying by this Friday, does it mean that on Friday morning, these letters would have already reached the district offices so persons can pick them up? Because if they're doing it during the day Friday, district office closed over the weekend.
Correct.
So how are they going to be ready for school on Monday?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So realistically, we are looking at Monday for the collection of these letters. Monday letters. We're going to be monitoring it. I'm talking to the DSS every day on this particular matter because I know that students, this will be their ninth week at home for those who haven't as yet started the new academic year.
And I had to get morning to Tosca. We had a lot of, I'll tell you off here, but I visited a couple schools and I can see that students are already at work. I walked into Tunapuna Secondary School earlier this week and I looked at the students, the teachers. Good. They were all, work has begun.
I know, and the excitement too. I love the excitement.
Work has begun.
Correct.
You know, parents are pleased that at least 98% of the schools, with the absence of just two we
of
talked
course,
about.
Two or so.
That's just two. Maybe one in Tobago. But
there are 835 schools.
Everybody going out to school.
That's fantastic. Exactly.
This is the first time everybody going out to school.
You sure right?
Now, Cedras, secondary remedial work still continuing. It's a little dangerous, but they're pushing through as quickly.
Definitely.
Tokwa electrical issue that they're working on to fix as quickly. Yeah, so those are the only two schools.
Exactly.
But everybody has gone to school.
Yep.
That is historic.
Really commendable.
I mean, the MOE, great job. And guys, that's a wrap for me this morning.
Thank you.
I'm already a minute over into Tusker's program in the Human Impact. And I do like to run into Tusker's program, you know. This woman is washing full time. But
so.
Of course, thank you so much to the president of Walter Stewart for being here. Look forward to being next week. This is going to be NPTA Speaks continuously.
Yes, indeed.
All right, the Human Impact is up next.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.